Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we have Father Brian Pierce. Father Brian is a missionary, itinerant preacher, and lecturer based out of Irving, Texas. The title of his preaching is Grace Upon Grace Upon Grace.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What person among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. After years of rigid adherence to the tiniest iota of the law, Saul's world has just shattered into a million pieces of colorful glass, each piece shining more brightly than ever. Saul doesn't know if he should laugh or weep. All that talk about grace had always sounded to Saul like a bunch of cheap rubbish. Up to this moment, the law had been his obsession. In Saul's world, there was no room for something as wimpy as grace. As far as Saul was concerned, real Jews climbed to the mountaintop with their hiking boots laced all the way up, like soldiers of the Lord. Saul's great pride was that he had collected more merit badges on his uniform than 100 Eagle Scouts. His friends called him Mr. Perfectissimo. That was the old Saul, though, one that they now call Paul. The local people could still hardly believe the news, but it was true. Saul's encounter with the risen Christ in the river of God's mercy had transformed him almost overnight. Though Saul, now Paul, wasn't totally sure how it had all happened, he knew deep down that he had found his true self, made in the divine image of God. Everywhere he looked, he saw nothing but grace upon grace upon grace. He no longer needed to show the world how righteously devoted he was, and that allowed him finally to fall into the river of God's love. One can almost see Saul coming out of that river, soaked from head to toe in God's love. The first words that he heard when he came up out of the water were, "Welcome home, Brother Saul. We've been waiting for you and for your homecoming for a long time." I grew up in a loving Catholic environment, with one rather tricky detail, which was that my mother was born and baptized a Catholic in West Texas. My father was raised in a rather anti-Catholic Protestant family in Missouri. They met and fell in love at Wichita State University. I can attest to the fact that I have never heard a single derogatory word spoken against another religion in our home. Never. Though I didn't even know what the word ecumenism meant when I was growing up, I can give thanks to God today to my parents that we lived ecumenism peacefully every day of our lives. In today's gospel, Jesus is accused of welcoming sinners and eating with them. I wonder what happened in those early days of Christianity that allowed the poison of religious superiority to seep into the cracks of beautiful ancient Judaism. As kids, we knew that there were other churches in town, and occasionally we'd spend the night at one of our friends' house, a Protestant friend's house. That was a beautiful teaching at a very young age, and sowed a seed of ecumenism in my heart back in those days. Looking back, I think that my dad's Protestant upbringing helped me to grow into a young man open to everybody, open to the world. It was years later, thanks to a visit at our Catholic Newman Center at Stephen F. Austin State University, that I tripped fortuitously into the Dominican Order. The visit that we made that Saturday to the Newman Center, from the Newman Center, was to visit the cloistered nuns in Lufkin, Texas. The first time I went there, I was floored in a way that I almost can't describe to this day. Had the nuns offered me the veil that day, I probably would have taken it. Unfortunately, I don't think that I would have passed the physical. My first assignment to full-time ministry was to live with two friars and two Dominican sisters as part of the missionary preaching team on the Texas-Mexico border. What made it doubly exciting was the fact that I was able to mix with different worlds and different cultures. To this day, I still give thanks to God for the gift of learning Dominican life in the midst of the poor. After serving a year as a deacon on the Texas-Mexico border, I began preparing for my ordination. The closer I got to ordination, the more I began to suffer. For the first time in my life, I realized that I was about to take a step that would in some way create a distance between my father and me, my Protestant father, and my Catholic upbringing. As my ordination grew closer, the more I suffered. I had never even thought about the possible consequences of this ordination.